This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. A gazetteer is a geographical dictionary of sorts, a reference book filled with the names of places and the origins of those names. To compile that information is an epic project. The U.S. gazetteer put out every 10 years by the Census Bureau has 179,000 entries. Very few states have them, but North Carolina is one of the rare exceptions, thanks to historian William S. Powell. In 1951, Powell set out to create a gazetteer for the Tar Heel State. 17 years later, the North Carolina Gazetteer was on the bookshelves. Here's a book with almost 600 pages that documented some of the state's forgotten cities, townships, and parishes. And it offered insight into how places like Frying Pan, Hanging Dog, and Naked Mountain, North Carolina, earned their names. The book has recently been updated with the help of Michael Hill. He, along with William Powell, is co-editor of the second edition of the North Carolina Gazetteer. Michael Hill is also a research supervisor at the North Carolina Office of Archives and History and my guest on the State of Things. Welcome back, Michael Powell.
Thank you very much.
Hill and Powell worked together to give us the Gazetteer. I gave us a rough definition, but fill us in. What does a Gazetteer do? What is it?
It is indeed a guide, a dictionary of place names. And that was Professor Powell. He was my advisor in grad school. He still lives in Chapel Hill. He's in assisted living. He'll soon be 92 years old. And a tip of the hat to Professor Powell. He was inspired to create this book by a story, a wire service story, datelined. It was about a plane crash, and it was datelined with a small town in eastern North Carolina. And even though he was the librarian in the North Carolina collection of Wilson Library at the time, he could not find that place name in all his reference works available to him. So he decided there was the need for such a book. And he set out to do it, and as you say, spent 17 years, compiled a book with 20,000 place names. I worked on it for a year and a half to do a new edition and added about 1,200 new names.
Well, this is 1951, so
Correct. No
Google.
Exactly.
No internet. I mean, he had to travel.
Exactly. And the way we see this, the editors at UNC Press and I have agreed that this book really complements what you can do online. It is the authoritative source for North Carolina place names. It's the most used book in my office and many other offices. And it is what I'd like to call a foundation work of North Carolina history. And Bill Powell, Professor Powell, excelled at that. He produced, as you probably know, the Encyclopedia of North Carolina and the Dictionary of North Carolina Biography. So through those three reference works, he covered people, places, and things. But it was places in the Gazetteer that first interested him.
And he had to go to those places.
Well, yes. Professor Powell once told me that he knew so many people in North Carolina that he could, if required, walk across the state and sleep at a friend's house every night. And I have no doubt that that was the case. He also had correspondents in every county. Now, I wish I could claim that I had. I had assistants from about 40 counties, and I did that through email. Now, he, working in the 50s and 60s, did not have that advantage, and he worked with the U.S. Postal Service. He kept 3x5 cards, did all his note-taking on those cards, and when he found a trusted correspondent in a county, say Rowan, he would place those cards in a box, ship them off to Salisbury, and have that person add what they knew to those cards and then return, and then he would work to compile that.
Had he done, you know, you talked about him being the director of the Wilson Library, so he's certainly familiar with research. Had he done this kind of legwork before?
Professor Powell, out of grad school, he went to grad school 1 year at Yale, hated the cold weather up north, came back to North Carolina, and worked at the institution where I work, Archives and History, in Raleigh for a few years, and in fact, indeed worked in the same area that I do, which is with historical markers. It was there that he met his wife, Virginia, while he worked there. 51, he moved over to Chapel Hill to head the North Carolina Collection, an institution where you can find practically everything that's printed and published about North Carolina. And he worked there until 74, when he moved to the Department of History, from which he retired in the mid-80s.
So what about the second edition? What made you all decide, him or you, decide it was time to update it?
It was the editors at UNC Press. I'll give them credit. I knew them, and they knew that I had some familiarity with North Carolina from having worked for over 25 years at Archives and History. They saw the need to update the book. It had been through reprints, but never thoroughly updated. And while we don't create place names like we did, say, in the 18th century, there were some glaring omissions and some corrections that needed to be made. And I'll mention a couple. Jordan Lake. 1968, there was no Jordan Lake. when they first created it, it was for a short time called New Hope Lake, and then it was named in honor of Senator B. Everett Jordan. So that was my number one thought. That was my first new entry, Jordan Lake. I knew that had to go in. In addition, the book reflects the demographics of North Carolina. And there, since 1968, there have been considerable changes, as you well know, most notably to the textile industry. And in trying to update the book, I tried through statistical evidence to change those entries where textiles were no longer a principal product.
Yeah, because that's part of what you do. It's not only the name of the place, a little bit of information about what goes on there.
Precisely.
And so you're updating all of that. Well, let's get to a couple of these kind of strange place names and figure out how it all happened. There's Black Ankle, North Carolina.
Yeah, Black Ankle. That's in Montgomery County. And the story there is that Montgomery was in what was a gold district, gold mining back in the 19th century before there was a gold rush in California. There was one in North Carolina. And Montgomery was on the edge of the gold mining district of central North Carolina. And the story is that bogs, swampy areas around there, drew men who were in search of gold. And they would get deep buried down in those bogs, dirty their ankles, hence Black Ankle.
Wow. And proving once again that really North Carolina and not California is the trendsetter. It was the gold rush was here first.
Oh, yes. We observed that dates to 1799 and discovery by John Reed of a large gold nugget. He kept it as a doorstop for many years. Our agency operates the Reed Gold Mine today as a historic site. But the gold industry flourished about two decades after that.
Pig Basket Creek.
Oh, that's one of my favorites. One of the things you can judge from the names of places in North Carolina is that early folks had much difficulty crossing waterways. And that's not surprising. You had to either have a bridge or a ford or a vessel to get across a waterway. Well, the story is in Nash County, the gentleman trying to cross the creek with a basket of pigs in hand dropped the pigs in the creek, hence Pig Basket Creek. Another one related to that is Bull Hole. And this is a new addition to the book, sent to me by my correspondent in Davie County, a crossing of the Yadkin River, a rickety bridge. A team of oxen was crossing the bridge. The bull fell in. The bull fell in, hence the Bull Hole.
Bull Hole. And then there's another one that I will pronounce A.C. Hole. Is that right?
No. A-S-E-Y. That's the way it's recorded.
Because A-S-E-Y, when you look at it, it looks vulgar.
There are some mildly vulgar entries in the gazetteer. This one, however, is innocent in all innocence. A man named Asa Moore, A-S-A, Asa Moore in the 18th century fell into the White Oak River in a deep section, and hence after that section or that point on the river in Onslow County became known as A.C. Hole.
Because I'm imagining a guy from New Jersey coming down and meeting a guy from North Carolina saying, where do you live? He says, I live in A.C. Hole. And it would be a rough moment. But apparently, so, and once again, the troubled water crossing becomes the name of the creek. Hanging Dog.
Hanging Dog up in the mountains. I'm from Henderson County. And in fact, I will proudly say that I come from near the confluence of Tumblebug and Big Hungry Creeks.
Wow.
Two fine place names,
yeah.
Tumblebug and Big Hungry. Well, Hanging Dog is from the far western county of Cherokee, and it is named because a hunting dog became entangled in logs and vines, and hence after took that name of Hanging Dog.
There are 8 instances of the N-word appearing as place names in the state of North Carolina, or words.
Yes, indeed. And I face the dilemma of what to do with those entries. Part of the usefulness of the gazetteer is to record the memory of places that are gone. And fortunately, those place names are going out of usage. But the book exists to record lost places that are gone, lost places. And so I could not very well strip the new edition of those place names. In 2003, legislature passed a bill instructing counties to change the names of those places, and the better part of those have been changed. It's a process involving the Federal Bureau of Geographic Names, and so most of them have now new names.
But it points to something interesting in that this is a reference book that can be used by a lot of people for a lot of different reasons.
Indeed. I like to say that the book is for every North Carolinian. It is not just for historians, genealogists, but it can be used profitably by folklorists, a lot in here that relates to the folklore of North Carolina, creative writers, a fiction writer who wants to set a, a piece of writing in the 19th century. I'm sure Lee Smith, in writing about the Reconstruction era in her recent book, profited from using the gazetteer. But even by extension, the book can be used by zoologists or botanists, because you have laurel. Laurel, for botanists, is a replaced name that's quite common in usage. And, of course, you have the proliferation of laurel, especially in the mountains. Buffalo. There are scores of places that bear the name buffalo, whereas there are no buffalo still in North Carolina.
Now, these days, so much is online. This is a hard copy of a book. How does this – why not? Why not put this online?
Well, I think the tradition has been to have it available for folks to carry in their car or to make reference to in their library. I'm a print guy myself. I can say, and this is a fairly new development, that the other reference works that Professor Powell has worked on, the Biographical Directory and the Encyclopedia, are moving toward online availability. But this place name guide we want to keep available in the print version, and that's why we've done the second edition.
It's a great guide. It's a great thing to hold in your lap and just kind of peruse now and then for some fascinating tidbits on North Carolina history and culture. Michael, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Michael Hill, co-author of the second edition of the North Carolina Gazetteer, also research supervisor at North Carolina Offices of Archives and History. You're listening to The State of Things Just Up, congressional hearings underway to investigate radical Muslims and acts of terrorism. Those congressional hearings going on in D.C. Here in the Piedmont, we will talk about it on The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Stay with us.